celebration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake. What a way to make your day. Sharing cake is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake.
Hi, this is the Reverend Dr. Jason Curry, Dean of the Fisk Memorial Chapel at Fisk University, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Now that was special. Good morning, Dean Curry. Hello, Nashville, and I hope that you are enjoying your early first Sunday in the year 2020 up. Moving and grooving in wherever you are, in Nashville or anywhere across the planet. What's up? It's cold this morning. It's not as cold as I thought. You know, I was anticipating, because sometimes when you listen to this weather and you don't go outside, you know, you have the mindset to bundle up like super duper, even though it is cold out there, don't get me wrong, but it's not like what I thought, you know, where you gotta bust out all the stuff. But so far so good for us. I am so glad no other type of precipitation came to be for us over the weekend. Oh Lord, cause you know so many parts of the nation have been dealing with that and issues of that that we have been very, very blessed and highly favored in this area. And as far as I'm concerned, it can just continue. I mean, you know, for those that want a white whatever, then consider changing places. Where it's white in the wintertime all the time. But you do, when you live there, you get tired of it.
That's true. Know?
It's pretty at first.
I should get used to it, yeah.
Yeah, at first. Anyway, I haven't talked to you in public in a while. How you been?
Excellent. And yourself?
Well, I have been under the weather, as you well know.
Yeah.
And I've been sick since Christmas.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's so funky to be sick at Christmas. Yeah, it is just, ugh. But I'm about 75% back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just didn't have a good, it was good, but I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm a little better. And, you know, I've been doing so well. I had a flu shot and everything.
Yeah.
I've been doing so well. But what had happened was, before Christmas, I went out and, you know, did my shopping and, you know, did all the things that people do, you know, to prep.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was at a time when we had that crazy cold one day, warm the next, rainy.
Off and on.
Yeah,
and
it
on.
Was just so whack.
All over the place.
And yeah, and people coughing and hacking on you and, you know, kids' noses running and all that and being in mixed crowds and everything. And I think being in the mixed crowds and stuff, because, you know, I like to put myself in a wintertime bubble, you know, and I think that's what did it. I was fine up until that point. I mean, I was just moving and grooving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam, I'm like, what? So I went to the doctor and everything. And, you know, I still got this terrible cough. A lot of people have this.
Yeah.
This thing, this viral cough thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was wondering. I've been wondering now for the last 3 or 4 days here. How am I going to? Good thing we have cough buttons in here now.
That's true.
You know, back in the old days, they didn't have them up here.
Yeah. Everything was just live.
Oh, it was. Let me share this with you. You know, I'm just thankful for those. And I'll be using it today, too, by the way. But I kept quiet all of yesterday so that I could use my, take, you know, save up, you know, for today so I could make it through till 9 o'clock. And so I won't be sounding bad to the people out there. Anyway, so your New Year's was blessed and, you know, you had a blessed time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, family good.
Yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, yeah, mine too. Yeah. Family gone, amen. And glory, glory.
You say, see y'all.
Go, hallelujah, hallelujah. And, you know, it's good to see you. But, you know, but I was sick, you know. I had one person with me that was at my house. That was kind of hard.
Yeah. You couldn't get your rest in or do what you really
wanted
to. No,
not even close.
Because you had to
entertain.
Not
this particular one.
Yeah.
Because she hadn't seen us in a long time. And, you know, we grew up together and stuff. And she wanted to do.
Yep.
Never been to Nashville.
Wanted to see the sights.
I'm like, girl.
Yeah, do all the stuff.
Look, baby. Not Sharon. I'm like, don't be throwing that not Sharon on me.
The guilt.
So, look. You know I
came all the way to Nashville just for you.
And I've never been. Cause you know I ain't never been to the South. She was from L.A. And you know I ain't never been to the South. That, you know, I was like, Lord, you're gonna have to come on with me, Jesus, cause I need you now. I need you. And you know she understood to a certain degree, but she still didn't want to come all the way out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And not get to you know, do anything. So I tried. I really did. I did my, okay, now, don't blink because we're going to do a quick tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. This is this over here. That's this. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Okay, let's go home now. And, you know, but I did the best I could. But I was happy when it was time for her to leave, though, because then I really laid down.
It was, sort of
you know, yeah, because I felt bad.
Yeah.
You know, you go all the way to somebody's house, you hadn't seen them in 30 years, and they're sick. You know, that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know? And even though I think a couple of my other family could have kicked in, I think they could have. But
they knew what that meant. So they wanted to do what they
Well, see, the ones that will be her age, they don't live here. So they were visitors, too. So it kind of made it kind of hard, put all the pressure on me. And because, you know, we all grew up as kids. But my kids really didn't know, don't know, you know, her. They've heard of her and her siblings and stuff. And heard of the family.
So they wouldn't have been as comfortable.
They wouldn't have known what to do.
Or as familiar.
Well, that's two different demos.
As familiar.
Yeah, that's two different demos.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like, you know, hanging with your uncle and, you know, and he got his stuff he likes doing and all that. And you trying to do what you do.
Yeah. Is there a blues joint up right here? Blues?
Yeah. You know, like, what's that? Yeah. I you know, so, you know, my kids.
You call somebody and find out.
Yeah. My kids are like, Mom, what you want us to do? I'm like, you know, I don't know. Let me think about this. But anyway, I persevered and I made it through. But I will say, it was different.
It was
very, very different. So, but I'm glad she got on back on that plane. And
now, where was she from?
L.A.
L.A. What part?
We grew up as kids in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Her granny and my granny and our granny are
sisters.
Twins. Not just sisters.
Twins.
That's what I told my sisters.
Okay.
I'm like, this ain't like a
I didn't
cousin.
Know your mother had a twin.
My granny did.
Oh, your granny. Oh, your grandmother.
Yeah, my granny
had a twin.
Okay. Yeah, my granny had a twin.
Wow.
And I told my sisters, I said, this ain't just like a regular cousin.
Yeah.
Our grannies are twins.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
you know,
special.
Hey,
yeah.
I mean, that's different. You know, it's just different.
Yep.
So, you know, her daughter, who lives in D.C., flew her here for her Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
She been wanting to see her growing up cousins. And we all grew up in the same kind of, she was born in New York, X. You and her could have really had a lot to talk about.
There it is.
Okay. Because that's I was born and raised in her. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. I done heard this one. And, you know, she started talking about that New York thing, you know, like you do.
Uh-huh.
But her dad was in the military. And so he ended up at the fort where I'm from.
Gotcha.
And so that's how when we were little kids. But, you know, things change, you know. People change, things change. Yeah. You know, she's older than me.
Okay.
And, you know, because she's talking about, you remember something? I was like, girl, come on now. You're 7 years older than me, you know. You and my sisters will remember, but not me. You know, some stuff I'm not going to remember because I was 7 years younger. But I do, you know, remember family stuff. You know, our grannies, you know, doing fun stuff with us and, you know, taking good care of us mm-hmm. and cooking and, you know, being, you know, that kind of stuff. I think everybody could, you know, gather from.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's good to see them. Good to see them get on back to where they're from. But I was glad the weather cooperated. Those first couple of days was kind of dicey, though.
It was.
And it was nice to have time off to, you know, be in your home that you're paying for and enjoy that. But it's also good to get back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think the listeners missed us?
I'm sure they did.
Well, I'm sure hope they so. Because I think so. I feel like in my mind, okay. In my mind, I was saying, oh, my God, yes.
we left them in great, capable hands.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And they got to listen to broadcast. You know, while we were gone, it wasn't like nothing stopped. You know, things went on. Christmas programs went on. And everything was the best of everything. So, you know, it just was what it was. You know, it's not going to be long before we have to start getting our King Day programming out.
That's right. Week after next.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we get that every year we have our King Day programming here on the station. So we definitely want you to tune in. That's always a favorite of our listeners. Always love that. Mm-hmm. So
I enjoy listening to it myself.
Oh yeah, just kidding.
And I have a feeling that here in 2020 is going to be even more relevant.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Especially when he starts talking about war.
Oh yeah, and poverty, and all that kind of stuff that we're still grappling with in today's realm. Now, the first guest of the year, Sunday book guest. We have so many that the schedule is really packing up for the first quarter. Wow. There's a lot of new books coming
out.
There
are. Quite a few.
And I was tickled to death to see among the many that are coming in the Sunday realm books. You know, we have our faith authors on Sundays. You know, they get all the love on Sundays. Pastor Juanita Rasmus, Pastor Rudy's wife.
Pastor Juanita.
From Houston, Texas, has written a book and on faith and her struggle with mental health issues and depression and how the Lord has helped her move through that. So we'll be definitely talking with her separately.
Every time
Pastor Rudy.
Every time I think of his wife, I think of the time when he talked about how he met her. He says, you know, I met a lady. That's how he refers to her. You know, I was a street hustler. I was a street dude. And then I met a lady.
That changes everything. That means you got to straighten up.
Yeah.
You know.
So I met this lady, and she just was just a different kind of lady.
Yeah, that, no question. And put up with him, too. Because Pastor Rudy had a pass now.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of y'all preach men had pass.
He had a hard pass. He said he was straight thug.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
Wow.
He grew up in a bordello.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he has stories.
Yeah.
And that's what made him a road warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if the truth get told out there, some of y'all got some stories too, amen. Lots of you. That's what makes a good testimony. Preachers. Hey, come on, church. Y'all quit being quiet and acting all sanctified. Because everybody know you got some stripes. Because we got stripes and we know you got some too. Because, you know, I know that's happened over the years where some have felt, you know, like they weren't getting their treatment well.
Yeah.
Because people hadn't forgiven them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dealing with that. But, you know, the Lord has turned so many things around for them by staying faithful, you know. So anyway, so her situation will be, she'll be sharing that, how she got to her strength level that she is now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also coming up, too, in, what, January?
I think this month. This month or early next month.
Wonderful. Is he?
I think, look at the schedule.
Okay. Because, and in addition to that, we have some great, there's really some great authors and experts on issues, empowerment issues,
yeah, he'll
coming
be with
to
us
the
last
show.
Wednesday in January.
He will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll have her separate because it's not no
yeah.
two for ones.
Yeah.
We're not. She ain't getting her
yeah.
half spotlight. She gonna get her whole light, and then he'll get his whole
yeah.
light.
I can picture him ducking his interview and saying, "Hey,
no,
this
no, 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 we got her.
We'll let him know in
no.
advance.
She's see, separate.
He'll
She's,
do it. You know he'll
I know
do
it.
It
will. Now, because that's a lady. See, he trying to please his lady.
He'll say, "Well, you know, instead
no,
of having me on,
no, we know.
You know,
no.
my wife wrote this book.
Yes, we. I already know. I already know. I already got. We already got that number. And you know something too. I was watching. You know, that reruns of a lot of shows and things, you know, that you miss because you're working. The View had Oprah, I mean, not Oprah, but what's her name? Whoopi's
oh.
Birthday stuff on.
Okay.
And she had her, you know, favorite things that she liked to give to people
yeah.
for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to notice that one of them was one of the books that we've had on the show.
Oh, okay.
And I was so surprised.
You guess the warmth of other suns?
No.
No?
No. It was Nicholas Pakola's book
oh.
on James Baldwin.
Okay.
And what's his name? And it was the book. Nicholas was really good about that book because that's the second or third time he's been on the show.
Okay.
I'm like, dude, she gave you a major plug. And it was about a great debate that James Baldwin had
yeah.
about race and color. And Nicholas is an African-American studies professor, et cetera, et cetera. But that was one of her picks. She also gave a copy of that book to everybody in the audience.
Okay.
She said that was one of her favorite reads for 2019.
And I bet they just cheered. Ah.
They did, yeah. of course. They got something for each shoe.
Yeah.
Even then, they may not read it. But the facts are is that we have quality authors and books on this show as well. And
mm-hmm.
you all just don't realize that you're being exposed to some of the best out there.
Best minds.
I mean, and I'm very honored to have this level, caliber of authors and folks that put pen to paper and researchers on the shows. This is indeed a tremendous honor. And, you know, also in Black History Month, there's some good ones coming too. I'm really very impressed mm-hmm. with the ones that we're going to have in Black History Month. One of them in particular was recommended by a listener. So we'll be having his
okay.
recommendation on. I don't know if I emailed him yet to tell him that I selected his book or not that he recommended, but we will certainly I'll get that email to him and let him know. But there's going to be some good ones on, and so I'm looking forward to what is in store for the 401 show 2020, where we can see clearly now that the rain has gone. Now coming up next, gonna get these headlines knocked down and tell you what's going on out there, as well as today's book and author, who just happens to be living in Franklin. So she is a Middle Tennessean, and we'll be happy to speak with Dr. Jenny Eaton Dyer in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, let us take this time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, Independent Agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. WFSK's Artist of the Week feature is back in 2020 on Thursday, January 9th with Grammy-nominated recording artist Najee. His latest release is entitled Center of the Heart. Support for WFSK comes from Nashville Public Library. Get help with your New Year's resolutions at Nashville Public Library. They have everything from Zumba and yoga to cooking classes and smoking support groups. You can connect to the best health websites for information you can trust, and it's all free. Learn more at library.nashville.org/bewell@npl. That's library.nashville.org/bewell@npl.
Winter means fire deaths increase by almost 75% across Tennessee. This winter, stay warm and safe with help from the Tennessee State Fire Marshal's Office and your local fire department. Keep flammable items like blankets or furniture at least 3 feet away from space heaters and wood stoves. Practice a home fire escape plan with your family. Everyone should know 2 ways out of each room. Never smoke in a home where medical oxygen is present. The increased presence of oxygen in the air makes fire burn hotter and faster. Since 2012, our partners have distributed over 200,000 smoke alarms through our Get Alarm Tennessee program. Over 270 people have been alerted by alarms installed through the program. Need working smoke alarms? Contact your local fire department and ask if they participate in Get Alarm Tennessee. Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, I'm Dr. Anita Chandra with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Bedtime is a special time of day, a moment to connect with your child before going to sleep. After your child has brushed her teeth, read a book together, or talk a little about your day. And of course, tell her you love her. Having a routine every night helps your child structure her day, feel safe, and develop good sleep habits. Relationships matter. For more, talk with your pediatrician and visit healthychildren.org.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Back to school tomorrow, huh? Children got to go, don't they?
I think they actually started Friday.
I know traffic was good
Thursday,
Friday.
Actually.
Really? Mm-hmm. I know traffic some was good Thursday and Friday. Could just
coast. Oh, you mean Metro?
Yes.
I think, yeah, tomorrow.
These kids wasn't starting school, was they?
They started Friday, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no wonder I kept seeing a few of them going down the hall.
Yeah,
there
was a long line over there trying to get cleared.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When I was dropping off stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Metro's tomorrow.
So, yeah, big traffic day tomorrow. Oh, it's always Mondays. It's always just
the
worst.
Oh, it is. It is. It'll keep that in mind tomorrow on your way to work. Anyway, when I was mentioning earlier before the break about the Whoopi Goldberg book that she had picked that was one of her favorites in 19 that we actually had on the show. The book is entitled The Fire Is Upon Us, a Princeton University Press book. And it's about the debate over race in America by with James Baldwin and William F. Buckley. And that one was interesting interview. Yeah. So And the author, Nicholas Bacola, was on the show. He's been on the show twice. And he's a good friend of the broadcast. And we're grateful for him. But Nicholas, he is also, he was on, I think, a year or two ago on his book, The Political Thought of Frederick Douglass. And he also was the editor of The Essential Douglass and Abraham Lincoln and Liberal Democracy. So he's chair of political science at Linfield College in Oregon. So I'm sure he was tickled to death to know she picked his book.
I'm sure.
Are you kidding? That means book sales.
It sure does.
Da-da-cha-ching.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was beautiful. And, of course, you know, we picked it here because it was on the show. Anyway, having said that, let me take a glance at some of these headlines. Let's start here local. And before I talk Titans, before the train goes off the track, because I know you're going.
Ooh,
I know,
Titans.
All right, I know you're going, but I won't take you there. Let me get some other stuff taken care
of.
Because you'll go right off the track. And then we'll end up, and 15 minutes later, you're still talking. Go Titans. Anyway. Authorities, or attorneys rather, for Tennessee death row inmates argue that mental issues, poor legal representation, newly surfaced evidence, and racism in the use of Tennessee's death penalty are among the reasons not to schedule 9 more executions. Attorney General Herbert Slattery is seeking to set dates for the 9 men to die. Slattery says he's just following state law for requesting executions. Tennessee resumed executions in August 2018, and 4 of the 6 prisoners put to death since have chosen the electric chair, a method no other state has used since 2009. Another execution is scheduled for February. I think they call the chair Old Smokey.
So,
they call Smokey. I mean, that's a terrible name for an electric chair.
What state is that?
This state is here. This is here.
So the same state where they're out there protesting in front of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
About abortion.
Yes.
But yet we're out here executing folk.
That's what they want to do. So, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, I'm just saying. That's the headline. That's the story.
I'm not saying that anyway. I agree with what the people did, but I'm just saying you protest abortion and you make that, you create laws to stop women from making choices with their own bodies, but yet if they do something that you don't agree with or they get convicted for, then you kill them.
The people against this are saying that mental health issues, poor legal representation, newly surfaced evidence, and racism are among the reasons not to do it. So, okay. And you know, we have history in this state.
Yeah, mentally ill people.
Well, of racism.
Yeah, and that is
and right. Other issues. Mm-hmm. So I would say slow the roll just a little bit till you can do more research. Now, also coming up out of Nashville, a group of United Methodist Church leaders from around the world in a cross-ideological divide is proposing an amicable separation. The proposal is to create a new conservative denomination. Members of the 13 million person denomination have been at odds for years over issues of gay marriage and gay clergy. The proposal, called A Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation, envisions a separation in which conservative churches forming a new denomination would retain their assets. The new denomination also would receive $25 million. The mediation panel was formed after it became clear the impasse over LGBTQ issues was irreconcilable. So the church is divided. The Methodist denomination is divided.
Well, I saw that.
There's a lot of gay preachers in the Methodist church.
They've been everywhere.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just
saying. I know what you mean.
Okay, so I'm just, you know, it's like, you know, so what are we supposed to cut people in half? I mean, you know, I mean, just.
Well, I think just in my opinion, that was done to head off lawsuits and things of that nature by splitting. And saying, here, take this and y'all go do you.
And I don't want to go to church with you. I don't want to sit next to you. I don't want to sing in the choir with you. I don't want to break bread with you.
I don't think that's what it was.
I don't want to love Jesus with you.
I don't think that's what they're saying.
They want their own thing. They want to be separated from every. Separate them from everyone.
But at
how
are
you
going to
do that?
But at the end of the day,
in a world that is not separated like that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's really about money. That's really what it's about. The church doesn't want to be sued. So I just figured that, just my opinion, that it was easier to just break them off some money and say, just go do your own thing.
Well, they wanted to. They asked for the money to go do their own thing.
Yeah.
So they could build their own.
There it is. If they didn't get the money, the only way to get it is to sue.
Well, these
and churches don't want to, you know, be seen that way.
13 million people have got to make a decision because of. There's gay clergy, there's gay marriage, there's gay folks and folks' families, and they know it. And, you know, I'm just like, I don't hate like that. I just, you know, this I love Jesus, but if you choose to be married to a man and you're a man, then more power to you. God bless you.
But then you open the door and see the problem for some churches.
And if you're a woman and you want to be, then that's you.
Do you have the authority biblically to marry two people of the same sex? That's where you're split.
Well, that's what keeps a lot of people out of church.
And
keeping from having relationships with the Lord.
But
because God's people are so confusing.
But it's not. Let me digress, because I don't pastor a church, so I really don't want to.
But you know Jesus. It ain't like, ain't talking about pastor no
but
church.
But it goes beyond worship. This goes beyond worship. This goes beyond leadership. I mean, this is dealing with leadership, the leadership structure of the church, and the ability to perform, marriages and things of that nature.
I don't have to be married to no denomination, because I found that to be quite disappointing. That's involved actively
but
in
if you're a, pastor,
a denomination
if
now.
If you're a pastor and
you
believe.
Because I'm disappointed in denominational issues.
But if you're a pastor and you believe that.
I love Jesus,
as they say,
period.
Be fruitful and multiply, and that you believe that marriage is the sanctity between a man and a woman, then you run a risk if you marry two people of the same sex within that congregation.
If they love and care about each other.
But that's not, it's about upholding whatever
you're.
Do you want me
to do testimony on the first weekend in January 2020?
You can testify, but that's not what it's about, upholding your church's, your constitution. That's what it's about in terms of whether you can do these things or not. It's not about whether how you feel about the people. It's about the constitution of those organizations.
But if you're not a part of that, it doesn't matter.
But what church doesn't have a constitution, though?
If you're not in a facade, if you're not part of the building and the denomination, you can still love Jesus. I don't have to be up in a building in order for God to be in me.
But then
me.
Now, see, now.
Because I had that conversation with a preacher
on this radio show. But now what are you teaching? Because see, that's how
I'm
people.
I'm not teaching.
That's exactly. Then you're looking at the pastor, because if the pastor is saying, again,
pastors are flawed.
It has nothing to do with that. But it has nothing
They're
to do with
sinners,
that.
Sinners, just like
but
everybody
But it has nothing
else.
To do with that. It's about upholding. Yes, it has something. It's the Constitution, because the teachings have to be biblically
Constitution.
Sound.
Or doctrine. The Constitution is about the United States of America.
No, your churches have constitutions.
They have also a doctrine and tradition. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can see,
your denomination may have constitutions.
You go back, there was temple prostitutes, and there were men and with men and women with women back in the beginning of time. You think God is shocked by this?
But you don't see marriage.
You don't know what you wasn't back in there.
But
you
it's
don't
not,
know.
But exactly. And so since it's not in the Bible, and it's and what you do find in the Bible is the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, then what gives a person authority to do such?
So we can pick that scripture, but we can disregard the rest of them about being faithful to the one that you chose. Come on, Jesus.
Because
I've been married,
But those are two separate issues.
To three unfaithful men.
Those are two.
So don't
those
start
are,
me up this morning.
Within the
I'm
sanctity.
You.
But see, within the sanctity of marriage.
And I was within the sanctity of marriage.
That's my point.
With a preacher and the whole shebang.
You're making my point.
Okay.
Irrespective of what took place, it was still within the confounds of whatever the doctrine and constitution that is established by the Bible.
But it was still a mess. Because in exactly. the Bible, it was still sin
yes.
when they went out and slept with other women.
But it's still okay, it's still within, sin. But it's still within the confines of whatever the Constitution that you're upholding, which is supposed was supposed to be biblical. If you
well,
go out
I
and
was
say,
biblical, but I, you, who I was married if, to wasn't.
This is why they split, because they want to go out and write their own Constitution.
Well, they split because they do not believe.
Yeah, they wanted to stay United Methodist.
They want to stay conservative there. And believe in what they want to
yes,
believe in.
Yes, but they also want to stay with that denomination rather than go out and form their own. Because some,
well, that's
some,
kind of what they're asking, though.
But they wanted the money to do it. See, they could have just went and just did it.
Why, they
just
want go to out create.
And raise, just go out and raise the money on your own.
The proposal but, yeah. says to create a new conservative denomination. They don't want that one. They want something entirely different.
They want to stay
like the moral majority style thing. Mm-hmm. And we already know how that ended up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all the mess that Jerry Falwell and mm-hmm. Swagger and all of them was doing, mm-hmm. messing around, and mm-hmm. some of them was sleeping with other men.
But that's still
while they
the
were
same.
Sitting there talking all that trash.
But that's still the same, but it's still within the confines of biblically set principles that we're supposed to guide ourselves under. It doesn't. I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, where do you draw the line in terms of what's can you marry your sister? Can a father marry your daughter? At some point, you have to say that ain't right. And I'm not advocating for either way. I'm just saying your Constitution gives you these guidelines that say, okay, this you can't do this because you can't do that because. And here are the reasons. It just goes against certain things.
Well, a lot of things where people are not supposed to do because.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Bible full of, you know, thousands of things mm-hmm. that tell you not to do because.
Yeah.
And you know what? Everybody's straight doing every single one of it says don't yeah. do.
And again, let
every
me,
single
and
one
again,
of them.
Let me say, you free me personally, you're free to love whoever you want to love. I have no... It's none of my business, as a matter of fact. But all I'm saying is within the confines of certain denominations, they have constitutions and bylaws and doctrines that they must uphold for the sanctity of that organization.
Well, don't we have a coming up a pastor's round table? In?
Sure do.
And one of the pastors is United Methodist.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a topic. Yeah. I'm sure, yes.
Well, I'm going to have to ask
that's the question, yeah.
You know, because, you know, everybody, you know, thinks however they want. And I think I want, you think how you want. And
that's a hot topic, and it's been sort of drowned out in the sea of the other
well,
stuff
that's
going on.
Well, it was
interesting
that
yeah.
they, you know, put it out here. But the proposal, again, is called a protocol, a reconciliation and grace through separation. And I don't know about that, but that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
So they'll have a new, they hope to have a new denomination. So, mm-hmm. and you're going to be so pure. Are you going to be worthy? Oh, no.
Well, that's not. See,
oh, well, it's about
that
to
opens
be
the door.
Conservative.
But see, that opens the door to
know,
another issue.
And we've learned how what conservative has meant
but
in
see,
this country.
But see, that
we've,
opens
we've seen
door.
What that has meant.
Yeah, but see,
look who their president is.
True.
Okay, we see. So come on now.
But that opens
help
the door
us,
to
Jesus.
That opens the door to another issue, which is, okay, if you do that, which they are doing it, then are you? How do you navigate the waters of certain scriptures that deal with certain issues? Do you leave it out? Do you talk about it? Do you because now you're preaching and you're talking about God and Jesus and love, but you're also not dealing with the Bible as is in entirety.
Well, and if that was the case, we wouldn't have made it this far. Okay, by grace we made it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot in the Old Testament. That
so when you go to, so when the pastor huh? so the pastor of that denomination gets up and talks about Genesis. They,
in the beginning.
Are they going to skip over and God created Adam and then he created took the rib out of Adam and created Eve and he saw her and thought this is, you know, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone and they got married, you know, and they be fruitful and multiply. How do you rectify that?
Well, you can't.
Boom.
To, you're right.
There
I
it
mean,
is.
There is no rectification. There's
the
only
problem.
Two people on earth.
That's the problem.
There is no problem. I mean,
that's the problem.
One and one is two. Okay.
But
two and
again,
two and two equal three.
Again,
and then it equals four.
So then now you move into the area of now.
But
if when, that's if the church is full of that, then now you have now in order to be fruitful and multiply, now you have to adopt.
No, we're assuming that God don't know what he's doing.
I'm not
and
saying
I'm,
that.
I'm just yeah. I mean when if they did make that, you assume that God does not realize that, doesn't know
mm-hmm.
that that's the case. Mm-hmm. Of course, some stuff had to start somewhere. When a ball rolls, somebody got to roll it. It don't just fall out the sky and just roll. I mean, something had to start it.
From a spiritual perspective, I always look at it.
Had to start from somewhere.
I always look at it from this perspective. In my because I've got people in my family who, you know, who are gay and lesbian. And so I always look at it from this perspective, that God is the good judge. And just like you said a minute ago, all of us have things.
Everybody
does. It's up to each and every one of us to understand what our relationship with God is,
yes,
and what how it applies
and
to our
him
lives.
To forgive us for our sins.
And yeah.
Please, Lord. And so, I mean, you know, people
he's
got
the ultimate judge.
People have murderers in their family. They have rapists. They have child molesters. People have these folks out here are didn't just fall out of trees. Mm-hmm. Okay, they have families and friends.
Yeah, they didn't just
and
pop
I'm
up,
just
huh?
saying, you know, when people start separating and, mm-hmm. you know, cording off and all that kind of stuff, where you going to be in a box by yourself? Yeah.
But the separation is not for the worship aspect of it. It's for the power structure of the church.
Well, of course, that's what the hierarchy does.
Yeah, that's what it's
that's
about.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was good stuff, amen.
Yeah.
We woke up to church today then.
I don't know. Who's going to use that as a sermon topic?
Not know where I'm going. Because I ain't
pastors,
going.
A good pastor will not even touch that. They'll preach with
because
love.
Because they don't want to lose offerings. You know, you know the truth. Because, you know, y'all got to preach for the offering. Y'all got to preach. You know, you love Jesus, but we need to get this money up in here so we can keep these lights going. Amen. when we come back, let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Titans till the end because I don't want you to go Titan crazy.
Go Titans.
I know. See, you're about to lose it. Anyway.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay, good.
Next week is going to be the
I know, yeah. I know. So you can have pom-poms and everything. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Every year, saxophonist Joe Lovano comes home to Cleveland to play a birthday show.
There were five generations of musicians in my life from Cleveland that I presented. For me, that's always been what's inspired me to want to play.
I'm Christian McBride, and we're going down memory lane with Joe Lovano. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding, and if you want to come and text us...
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music...
Ah, this is Mommy's jam!
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You may be hearing about people having trouble making mortgage payments and risking losing their homes. Many of them just aren't aware of the options that can prevent foreclosure. There are many options available to homeowners, such as repayment and forbearance plans, loan modifications, and even refinancing. Where does someone go for help? They should talk directly with their lender or a qualified HUD-approved counseling agency. Both can provide helpful information without charging a fee. According to PMI Mortgage Insurance Company, it's not a good idea to pay for services that you can get for free from a lender or a qualified nonprofit counseling agency. To learn more, visit HomeSafePMI.com or call HUD at 1-800-500-5555. 1-800-569-4287 for a counseling agency near you. That's 1-800-569-4287. This message is brought to you by PMI, supporting sustainable home ownership that strengthens communities.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And here's how it's going to look for you today. It is so good to see the beautiful sun shining in the city.
It's bussing through.
Oh, I'm telling you what, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. Love it. Love it. It's going to be like this all day. Sun shining all day. Beautiful. 53. Nice, nice. 53 nice degrees for us on this first Sunday in 2020. Tonight, about cold, 33. But clear, though. Clear as a bell. Tomorrow, still continue. We'll see sun most of this week. Hallelujah. So if you deal with seasonal affect disorder from clouds and wintertime, this week is going to be a good week for you to feel better. Excuse me, to feel better. I've been at this thing, y'all. So sorry. But we're in the 50s all week. So that is just perfect for the first week of January. And remember these days when the other weeks fall in and the temperature drops down to where it's going to in the coming weeks. But currently, we have a beautiful sunny sky in Nashville and 29 degrees. Next hour's book, you know, as you see this strangeness as it is in this world, you know, especially in the United States, obesity is a number one problem in this country, among the number one health issues. But then on the other hand, is also hunger and poverty, you know, so stuff is just so lopsided. But anyway, our book for the 8 o'clock hour is The End of Hunger. Renewed hope for feeding the world. And we are happy to welcome on to next hour Jenny Eaton Dyer. And Dr. Dyer received her education at Vanderbilt. So, hey, Dr. Dyer, I know she's listening online. Hey, she is the founder of the 2030 Collaborative. And as such, she directs the Faith-Based Coalition for Global Nutrition and support from the Eleanor Crook Foundation. And she also has served as the executive director of Hope Through Healing Hands, a nonprofit chaired by Senator Bill Frist. And she's done other things. So we'll be talking to her about that work and her work on a global basis. And of course, I think she might teach a class at Vanderbilt too, you know.
We'll find
so
out.
So yeah, we will with next hour with Dr. Jenny Eaton Dyer. So some of you might have met her or been in her classroom or gone to school with her or something. But anyway, she's got her new book out and we'll be chatting up on that particular subject matter. Now, let me get back into some of the headlines here in Tennessee before we go out to the national and international look. Out of Memphis, the mayor of Tennessee's largest county is reaffirming a commitment to welcome refugees. Over the weekend, Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris held a ceremonial signing of a letter he sent to U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo last month, stating the county's desire to keep welcoming refugees from around the world. The commitment by Harris, a Democrat, follows Republican Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's decision to continue to resettle refugees. Last month, Lee rejected the option offered by states, by President Trump's administration to stop refugee settlement. Trump's order lets local governments decide on refugee resettlement if the state opts in. So we'll see as Memphis did. Will anybody else out there follow? Now, in news out of Nashville, it's kind of authorities in our state say a woman is facing charges for setting another woman on fire. The Nashville Fire Department says investigators arrested 48-year-old Lila Dawson for the incident, which occurred Monday. The fire department says Dawson set the woman on fire inside of a duplex. And when firefighters arrived, they found the woman severely burned in the front yard. She was in critical condition at the hospital over the weekend. Dawson was arrested Friday and is charged with attempted criminal homicide, aggravated arson, and arson. It was not immediately clear if Dawson has retained an attorney. That's horrible. My God. Anyway, now here's what we got on international news. Of course, many of you all have been hearing about this international news. Thousands of mourners have walked alongside a casket carrying the remains of General Qasem Soleimani through two major Iranian cities. It's part of a grand funeral procession across the Islamic Republic. Amid soaring tensions between Iran and the U.S., an American drone strike called Soleimani and others Friday in Baghdad, killed Soleimani and others in Baghdad on Friday. Iran has threatened harsh retaliation. In response, President Trump has threatened to bomb 52 sites in Iran. Sorry.
It's okay.
Thank God for the cup.
Yeah.
If it retaliates by attacking Americans. Meanwhile, Iran, is vowing to take an even greater step away from its unraveling. And this thing was alarming when I heard about it. What do you think?
I was shocked. And I was just taken aback by the type of military action that I don't know what was. I don't cry for his loss. I mean, all life is precious. I'm conflicted, but I just feel as though this was an unnecessary thing to do
at this time,
and we're gonna pay the price for this.
I haven't heard yet the rationale behind,
Trump was my problem.
Said that he had heard or gotten.
Exactly.
He didn't say the intelligence, what it was.
No one knows. The only thing he's done is he's come out and said, well, I prevented a war. And he was in the act of doing something bad. No one knows and no one has said. All we've seen is what they've said in front of the cameras, to come out in front of
But he keeps saying it, but he's not proving
information.
It.
Exactly. It's put. And I sort of alluded to this. I posted this, after careful thought. My concern are the persons who serve in the military around that region, who have those embassies, you hear Benghazi all the time. Because before Benghazi, most people really didn't even think about embassies and knew what they did and things of that nature. But all these places we have around the Middle East, where we're there as peacekeepers,
tens of thousands of soldiers.
I mean, they're subject to be under some type of attack someplace. This is going to come back to hurt innocent people in a way that it just did not have to happen this way. Especially for
I think that other presidents have done diplomatic things and done things, but Trump hasn't even read any of the intelligence.
But it's the taunting. That's if there was a legitimate reason why you needed to bomb this man publicly the way you did and then come out and say and taunt.
All they've said is rhetoric. They haven't said why. And if nothing else, they should also inform Congress. That's part of their job. I mean, the White House, if you know this stuff, you're supposed to get with those people in that Gang of Eight or whatever it is and let them know that this is what's going on. The American people deserve to know, because they're sending our sons and daughters out there and they're sending troops
Is it Marsha Blackburn? Isn't she one of the representatives here in Tennessee?
Yeah.
This is the problem. This is why elections matter. A person like her should know better. you're allowing this president to continue to do stuff and push the envelope in ways that make the United States less safe. Because now it's sort of like
there's no diplomacy.
Yeah, it's sort of like now you've got the world looking at the United States much differently now.
Yeah.
Where is the moral clarity and authority that says
there's no moral?
Exactly.
That's gone in.
And so now you're allowing this guy to do whatever he wants to do and not be accountable to anybody.
Well, there's no proof. There's absolutely no proof that anything precipitated this. There's no pathway. You know, we had the fake weapons of mass destruction thing. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they created something that looked mm-hmm. like it was, you know, real, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was come to find out it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many tens of thousands of people have to die in all mm-hmm. these wars before people say enough is enough? Now, the world is responding mm-hmm. to this because they...
That's my point.
The world does not want this because they already know that that's a great...
Because a lot of those countries are the ones...
That's a great deal of countries.
A lot of those countries are the ones that will pay the price for this.
Well, that's a great deal of the countries upset. And, you know, we'll have to see how the rest of the world handles this. And the daughter of General Soleimani says the death of her father will not break us. And the United States should know that his blood will not go for free. Soleimani's daughter told Lebanon's Al Manar TV, which is linked with the Iran-backed Hezbollah group, that the filthy President Donald Trump will not be able to wipe out the achievements of the slain Iranian leader. The young woman, who spoke in Farsi and Arabic voiceover, said that she knows the Hezbollah leader and will avenge the death of her father. So there's all kinds of ways and means that this will be happening. Additionally, the U.S. military says the situation at a Kenyan airfield used by U.S. forces is fluid after a pre-dawn attack by the Al-Shabaab extremist group. A statement says the airfield is still in the process of being fully secured. It does not say whether any U.S. or Kenyan forces were killed. The Somalia-based Al-Shabaab claims that intense combat continues and says the attacks has nothing to do with the Middle East crisis. This is the first known Al-Shabaab attack against U.S. forces inside of Kenya, a key base for fighting one of the world's most resilient extremist organizations. And Democrats are rallying against President Trump's decision to kill Iran's top general. But the issue has resurrected a long simmering foreign policy dispute within their own party that is coloring the fight for the Democratic presidential nomination. Former Vice President Joe Biden charged that Trump had tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox in the Middle East. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren said the move increased the likelihood of more deaths and new Middle East conflict. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders slammed what he called a dangerous escalation that puts the United States on the path to another war.
Yeah.
So we shall see. And I'm very concerned about another war.
And I'm really...
Because we've been 17 years in the one we've been
fighting. My heart goes out to now yet again the soldiers who have to go back to the Middle East, because you don't deploy for 6 months. You're gone for a year or two. Now you have to leave your family again. If you're a parent, you have to leave your kids again. And if you've been serving, if it's your career, this is probably your third or fourth deployment.
Yeah.
And for what reason?
Over and over.
Because the president felt offended because he was taunted on Twitter.
You know, a part of me feels, and I know this is, you know, but in my head I'm like, is this a distraction because of the impeachment?
If it is, it's one of the worst things,
because it just came from literally nowhere. We were not having a discussion in this country about this particular general or this. It was not on any radar screen.
It wasn't.
And, it just absolutely nowhere.
It's good that he's off the battlefield. Let me say that, because he's responsible for a lot of deaths around the world.
But he trained somebody to take his
place. Yes. However, the proper thing to do if you're going to, after doing that, would be to come out. Mike Pompeo should have come out with his evidence. Same way we saw Colin Powell sitting in that chair pointing out all these areas in Iraq where they had all these weapons hidden all over the place. He should have come out and brief the Congress first, and then come out and brief the American people and say, this is why we had to do what we had to do. We have no idea why this was done.
No, we don't.
None.
And
now we've got soldiers deploying to the Middle East
and
again.
And families in deep concern.
There it is.
And about their loved ones.
Who know why.
And then there are those who are already there, who have been at those bases all over.
Yeah.
That don't know what's going on. So it's a ball of confusion. So we certainly have a lot to ask the Lord to help us with. Because this nation got a lot to deal with. A lot. Now, and sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
May I just say, go Titans.
Go Titans.
Okay.
Derrick Henry.
I just want to put a ray of light on it.
Let the big dog eat.
You know, he did it.
He ran over them like little kids.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, it was
wasn't
like
that
watching.
His birthday?
He turned 26. It was like watching a grown man play football with kindergartners.
Titans
fans. He just ran all over them.
Bonkers right now.
Yeah. And so, rightly so, because it was a solid performance.
Yeah, wow.
Solid.
Way to go, Titans.
Yeah.
In the victory. And I was amazed that they beat them, New England, that bad.
So I had a feeling it was
Tom
coming.
Tom Brady or not.
I had a feeling.
20-13.
Yeah.
It's a wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no wild card
needed.
We got
our hands full coming up this week.
Yeah, oh, yeah. If there's no wild card needed, they just played. And they played well. So way to go, Titans.
The leading rusher.
Well, Mike Vrabel, I guess they'll extend his contract, huh?
Oh, you know he ain't going
nowhere. Let's take a time out. We're coming back with our book for first Sunday in 2020, The End of Hunger. And let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.